Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey friends, welcome to the Naked Marriage Podcast with Dave and Ashley Willis. On this podcast, we undress the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And I have my lifelong love right here with me. She is the smart and beautiful one in the relationship. And in just a second, she's going to read a review before we dive into today's topic, talking about the inventor of sex. Spoiler alert, it's God.
It's God.
God's the inventor of sex. But man, he created something pretty awesome. And we're going to talk about his original design and how it's still the best design. A lot of what we're talking about is based on content from our brand new book, which is The Counterfeit Climax.
The Counterfeit Climax.
It's out now, wherever you get your books, ebook, paperback, audiobook. If you like listening, we had so much fun recording this audiobook. You can go over to Amazon right now or wherever you get your audiobooks and download that. I think it could really spark some great conversations in your marriage. But before we dive into today's topic, my love, how about a review?
All right, today's review is from Jared719, and he entitled this, "Love This Podcast," gave us 5 stars, so thank you, Jared. It says, "Found the Naked Marriage Podcast shortly after discovering my wife having an online affair. I was trying to find advice and a way to improve our marriage and the horrible situation we were in. I fell in love with Dave and Ashley. They bring honest conversation and advice to improve your marriage. I listened to the audiobook and then sent a copy to my wife. Both of us agree that so much of what they talk about was directly related to our relationship. They discussed our exact feelings and thoughts we have had throughout our marriage. Feelings of inadequacy and our lack of communication and our own definitions of intimacy in our love languages. The podcast goes in such amazing depth to many areas of marriage and emphasizes communication and making the bedroom a safer space for intimacy. Love their book and their podcast, truly helping me work through forgiving and improving our marriage." Wow. I mean,
So good.
So good. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we are honored to know that God has used this podcast just to be part of your healing journey. And all of us are on a journey, and we want this to be a safe place wherever you are on your journey to be able to grow closer to your spouse, closer to God, and to work through whatever wounds you might be working through, and to experience all the joys and the good things that God has in store for our marriage, including a great sex life.
That's right.
Which is what we're talking about today. So let's dive in.
Well, today we are talking about the inventor of sex. And I thought I would start us out because, as you all know, if you've been listening for any length of time to the Naked Marriage Podcast, Dave always teases it to me on episodes about sex because
I love it.
It's just something you want to watch me talk about.
In fact, if you want to watch this episode on YouTube, then you can go over to YouTube, look up the Naked Marriage Podcast, and just see a cheesy, goofy grin on my face the whole time while I look at my beautiful bride as she's talking about sex. And it just brings me such delight.
Well, I am glad you're delighted. And as a segue, I would like to say that when God made sex, obviously, God is the inventor of sex. He wanted us to also be delighted
with sex. Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert, it was God.
It was God.
I think somebody out there.
He's the inventor.
I thought it was Elon Musk or somebody else. Like, no, it was God. And thank you, Lord, by the way. We just want to pause to say thank you. In fact, next Thanksgiving, when we go around the table, we're talking about things we're thankful for. You know, I want to just say,
throw it out there.
Grandma, you know what? Thanks for asking. I'm thankful for sex. God made it, it is good.
And really throw in there, you know, this year has been especially just one to be thankful for. We've achieved new heights in pleasure. It's been more than I ever dreamed. Please, if you do this, will you please write us?
Yeah,
take a quick picture of Grandma or your children and see the look on their face. It would be hilarious. No, in all seriousness, don't do that. It'd probably ruin the moment of Thanksgiving, but
it is something we should be thankful
for. It is something we should be thankful for, yes.
Yeah. And so I get so excited. I forgot how to speak English for a second. The inventor of sex. So the reason why we wanted to do this particular episode, excuse me, I'm going to have a little sip of water.
And as a side note, I would like to say I love your mug that you are drinking. This is actually from our 2021 EXO Marriage Conference. We have new merch, though, for this upcoming conference. So be on the lookout for that. Yeah. And we're excited about it. We're always excited because we don't come up with the merch. We're always like, these amazing creators come up with amazing merch. But occasionally, if you follow us on Instagram at Dave and Ashley Willis, we put like if they're having a sale or if there's some kind of new announcement in the merch, because a lot of you write us and they're like, if you're watching on YouTube, they're like, where did you get that mug or where did you get that T-shirt? So.
And I'm glad that you asked because yes. You can get it all at exomarriage.com. And all the proceeds of this, by the way, it goes directly back into the ministry. So you're not only getting cool
exactly.
And T-shirts and books and everything, but you're actually helping support this ministry so we can take this important message to more people. And we would love to see you at one of the live events. We've already done several this year, but we've got a few more coming up, you know, both spring and then certainly in the fall. Next fall, you'll have some options. So go to exomarriage.com. You can see
right.
that. All right. So the inventor of sex. And I think it's important that we talk about this because we've got all these false misconceptions about what sex is, where it came from, what does God think about it, where should we go for, you know, for our sexual knowledge. And mm-hmm. sometimes we go to a lot of the wrong sources, or we put value in some of the wrong sources. In fact, I'm going to tell a quick story that in itself is not about sex, but I think it ties into what we're saying. It's about your lovely ring that you're wearing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so right now, Ashley has got this blingin' new ring. And if you're on YouTube, you see
it's
sparkling. It looks like...
You catch the light.
Like something, you know, the Gucci's would be wearing. It's like really, really nice. And so people have grabbed her hand and said like, oh my gosh, that is the prettiest ring I've ever seen. That cost a fortune, I'm sure. And
many thought, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary last year. So they're like, oh... Did Dave buy you a new ring for your 20th anniversary? So they
yeah,
kind of
so
reasoned.
Oh man, Dave,
yes,
he's
like, well, dang, it was a good year.
And so what does that thing cost? Like $20,000, $30,000? I'm going to tell you exactly how much this ring costs right now. $50
Yes,
this is a $50 ring from Amazon.com.
$50, guys.
And the reason why she's wearing this is because the engagement ring that I bought more than 20 years ago, which had a much smaller diamond than the cubic zirconia rock.
2-carat rock that's in here.
Much smaller. But I worked hard for it, put it on layaway, ransomed it, gave it to her. It was such a joy to give it to her. She loved that ring. Recently, that diamond popped out. We've got one of those robot vacuums in the house. That at some point the robot vacuum gobbled up that diamond and
we checked it, you guys. We checked high and low.
At some point that thing was like vacuumed up, thrown away. There's no finding it now. And it wasn't a real big rock because I was pretty broke at the time.
But it was something for me. I had just had my ring fixed and the prongs redone and everything. And I don't know what happened. It just fell out, which it was just so unfortunate. And the timing, it was right after we celebrated our 20th anniversary, I believe, too, which was just like, man. And it's really a beautiful diamond, but it really wasn't even about that. It was about how hard you worked. And it just hit me so hard because I remember all those years ago, you working at Radio Shack, selling cell phones. At the time, they were flip phones. And just day in, day out, working hard as you paid off my ring, which was, I think, on layaway or whatever. And so it was, I don't even, do they do layaway anymore? Like, we're really aging ourselves.
They still do.
Here,
you know, but, now they got this Afterpay stuff where they try to get you to basically just pay high interest on it. And
oh, that's
layaway
right.
Layaway was the ticket because there was no interest. And
right.
you didn't get it until it was paid for, which is a good principle. But that's not what this podcast is about. So basically... The reason I tell that ring story is because what she's wearing, it is a beautiful thing, but it's not something really of great value.
No.
And I think similarly, we tend to have our eyes drawn as it relates to lessons about sex, things about sex, to things that don't necessarily, they might catch our eye, but they're not the things of the most value. The things we see on TV, the things we read in magazines, those kind of lessons about sex, they might catch our eye, but they're not the most valuable.
Right.
The real jewels, the real value is found in what the inventor of sex says about sex, mm-hmm. God himself. And there is an ancient book of timeless wisdom about sex, and I'm not talking about the Kama Sutra, I'm talking about the Bible.
Right.
God invented it, and his plan for sex, for your marriage, for every aspect of our lives is timeless, it is beautiful, and if we settle for anything less, or if any other voice has a more prominent voice in our life than God's voice speaking to us through Scripture, then we're going to get off track. Our eyes are going to be drawn to the wrong things. Our minds are going to be drawn to the wrong things. We're going to assign value in ways that aren't accurate. But if we'll say, God, because you are priceless and precious, your word is the most priceless voice and truth in my life, and I want to realign my thinking based on what you say, then every part of life starts to make more sense, including your sex life, because God wants you to have a great sex life within marriage. And I think one of the lies we've believed in our culture, even within the church, is that God doesn't really want your sex life to be that great. He just wants you to procreate, and then that's it. And there's so much more to it than that, guys. He created sex to be a gift, an absolute gift for you and your spouse to enjoy for a lifetime. And it's just time to thank him, first off, for that gift, and then realign our thinking so that we can enjoy it more.
Exactly. And, you know, coming back to the ring story, we bought this on Amazon for $50, and it's a gold plated over silver with a cubic zirconia. So that's why my finger's not turning green. But, you know, it's a placeholder, a $50 placeholder, until one day we can replace that diamond. But, you know, this is not how God wants us to handle our sex life. He doesn't want us to settle for some placeholder, you know, kind of experience and wait until we're like, well, one day we'll actually talk about our sex life, or, well, one day things will be better. He wants us to do what we can now. Yeah. And so don't look at this story as an exact reflection, because that's what we're talking about it today. He wants us to look at the Bible. What does it say about what our married sex is supposed to look like right now? And we hope that as you listen to this, that when you turn off this podcast, you will have great conversations about this. That's really our hope for every single episode, is that you take something we've said, something the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, and you talk to your spouse about it. Because the truth is, guys, there is never a time when we arrive in marriage and we simply have it all figured out. All of us are works in progress. And some of you might hear that and you may be discouraged, but really, I take great comfort in that, because that means the goal is not perfection. The goal is progress. Because we're human beings. We're not perfect. God didn't make us perfect. The only perfect human being who ever lived was Jesus, God in the flesh. And so it takes the pressure off. There's things we can learn. There's things that can improve over time. And the truth is, too, is sex is going to look different in different seasons of your marriage. It just is. And I know those of you who are newlyweds, you're like, what? What do you mean? And then those of you who just had children, you're like, you're right. Say that again. It looks a little different after we had a baby. Or maybe you're listening and you're middle-aged and you're like, yeah, it looks a little different. You know, anybody who's been married for any length of time or who has endured different seasons, maybe you're in a season where one of you is maybe dealing with some kind of ailment. You're thinking, yes, Ashley, you're right. Sex does not look the same. But just because it doesn't look the same doesn't mean it can't be good. Because the inventor of sex, God, really created sex to be a pleasurable experience, but really he created it specifically for marriage, as a way for a husband and wife to physically show the manifestation of their love and to enjoy what happens from that. Sometimes it leads to having a child, which is this beautiful outpouring of the love in a human being, which is just, it still blows my mind. We were just talking with our producer, Eric, who just had their baby a few months ago, their first baby, and we were talking about having babies. Shout out to Eric.
And Michaela, and
little baby Raya. Really, you guys, I mean, we have our oldest is 16. Our youngest is 6, really almost turning 7. And it still blows my mind. Like, it's not lost on me. And I can tear up talking about watching our kids sleep and like the anxiety that you get, you know, watching a baby making noises in the night and just making sure they're okay and everything's healthy. And I was like, you know, even our 6/7-year-old, I still do that sometimes. I go and check on them, and just the miracle of children. It's just beautiful. And that comes, you know, from the beautiful act of making love. And it's this beautiful outpouring of the love. And it just isn't lost on me. But, you know, even when it comes to sex, it's not just about children. It really is the coming together of I've heard it actually described as a mingling of souls. And I love that. I don't know who came up with it, but I love it. I think that's a beautiful way of describing it, because it's just a beautiful, you know, sex is this beautiful outpouring of love that we get to experience physically. And I think that there's so many layers to it, and we get so many messages from people where maybe sex has become hard because you are trying to have a baby and it's not happened as easily as you thought it would be. I just got a message the other day from a woman saying, you know, we went through years of infertility and taking shots and trying to make sure that we could become pregnant. And so now, she said, we ended up having our miracle baby and we're so excited. But she said sex was work for literally like a year and a half. and timing and measuring my temperature and doing all this clinical stuff. And she said, how do I go from that, you know, from really trying to become pregnant to all of a sudden enjoying sex again, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that's not a switch you can just flip all of a sudden. But I will say that it takes time, and we can work on this. And really the key with any situation, even in this situation, is talking about it and recognizing, you know, there's layers to this. The same goes for any different kind of season you're enduring. Maybe you're just going through stress in your marriage, or maybe your spouse did something to break your trust. I mean, there's all kinds of things we go through, but whatever we're going through, we have to come back to.
I'm super excited about some Mother's Day gifts and future birthday gifts that I have coming up. And it's made possible through our friends at Aura, A-U-R-A. An Aura frame is essentially a digital picture frame that you can upload and customize really at any point. You can have your pictures streaming in real time. You can change what pictures it shows. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It's so customizable. It's so cool. You can even add pictures to a loved one's frame in some other state or other part of the world by uploading a new picture you think they'll love that'll pop up on their frame. And it's a great way to keep families connected. I think this is one of the most thoughtful gifts that you can give. So I want you to go to AuraFrames.com and use the promo code NAKED to get $30 off plus free shipping, which is an amazing deal. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code NAKED, and I promise you, they're going to love their Aura frame. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it has saved its members on average $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And so how it works, it monitors everything you're spending. It gives you a quick snapshot of where the money's going when it feels like money's flying out the windows like it does at our house sometimes. It helps you identify where it's going, and specifically those ongoing subscriptions. Maybe you signed up for a free trial, forgot to cancel it. Next thing you know, you're being charged $10 a month for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And it cancels that stuff for you.
And we want to save you money too, because you guys, life is expensive. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/naked. That's rocketmoney.com/NAKED. rocketmoney.com/naked. What God intended for sex and what it says in the Bible. And I think when it comes to the Bible, the best thing we can learn is really, you know, what God created it for. Again, just to bring a couple together like nothing else can, but also maybe the boundaries that need to be in place there. And we have a lot of podcasts about this, but the Bible has a lot to say about this.
It does. And I think one of the mistakes that we've made, because we talk about the healthy boundaries that you need, you know, not bringing anyone else into your marriage bed virtually or physically, things like porn being toxic. We've talked about all these things. But I think sometimes as Christians, we err on the side of bringing in all kinds of boundaries that God never intended and really taking away our freedom. And one of the stories we share in the Counterfeit Climax book, which if you don't have the Counterfeit Climax book yet, it's available now. You can get it.
Boop, boop.
I mean, you can get it anywhere. Exomarriage.com. You can get it on Amazon. If you like listening, we had so much fun recording the audiobook for this, and I am just thrilled about this resource and the feedback we've been getting from those who've had a chance to look at it already. And just sparking new conversations in your marriage about sex. But we share a ton of stories, not only about our own life, but we share social research. We share true stories of people who've written us. And then we share kind of interesting anecdotes, like the story of the Shakers where we grew up in Kentucky. There was this movement of people a few hundred years ago called the Shakers that were Christian folks that wanted to kind of create this utopian community, and they built this like idyllic little village called Shakertown, or I think its full name is Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill, which is a great tourist attraction if you're ever in central Kentucky.
It's near Harrodsburg, Kentucky.
It's just absolutely beautiful. But these folks were really fascinating. They, when you joined this community, if you came in as a married couple, then part of what you had to do to join the Shakers is you had to now live as brother and sister with your spouse. You no longer could live as a married couple. Men lived in one place, women lived in another. Men and women had equal power and authority, but they kept them separate all the time. They lived separately, ate separately. They would walk in through separate doors to the worship services and then sit on separate sides of the room. And so they just felt like sex is, it has been misused, and it's been, you know, it's complicated and messy. And so really what we need to do to have like this pure faith is just to remove sex completely from our lives and from our thoughts. And they lived that way. And of course the whole movement died out, because guess what? If you're not having sex, your whole movement and family is going to die out real quick. Yeah. I always joke that's why they were called shakers as well, is because they were shaking from sexual frustration. apparently they shook when they worshiped, but I think it was really just pent up frustration.
Oh my goodness.
So that's what we share more about that story in the book, and a lot of other just, I think, fascinating stories. But what they got wrong was they took this gift of sex that God clearly intends to be a gift, and because they didn't want to do the work of figuring out how to do it God's way, they just thought it's easier to just put it out of our minds. And I think a lot of Christians kind of live with that shaker mentality. It's like, it's just holier for me to just put it out of my mind. Even if I'm a married person, it's like, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to work at it. I might begrudgingly just kind of do it because maybe I'm supposed to, but I'm certainly not going to have fun with it. And we really miss out. And you've had so much of a mindset, I've got to have boundaries with it. I can't sin with it. That you've taken that to an extreme where we're actually living in sin on the other extreme by putting so many boundaries around sex that we've missed the whole point of the gift it's meant to be and the freedom that we're meant to have with one another in marriage within the bedroom. And it's time to get some of that back. And that's part of why we wrote this book. And that's part of why we're talking about these issues here on the podcast. And we just want to be a safe place for all of us together collectively to go back to Scripture and say, Lord, what is it that you're teaching us? What is it that you want us to know? And how can we get back to that? Because we don't want to, on one hand, not have any boundaries and just live like the world lives, and it's just like our minds and our thoughts and our hearts are polluted with all kinds of wrong messages about sex. And on the other hand, we don't want to have this uber religious but not biblical view of sex like the Shakers had, and other groups too, where we basically just demonize sex altogether, because what you've created is something so much more beautiful and pleasurable even than anything, any counterfeit the world can give us. And we just shouldn't settle for anything less.
Right.
And so thank you to the inventor of sex for making something so awesome, and help us, Lord, help us to get back to your beautiful design for it.
I love that you just said that, sweetie, because I know we've said this before on the podcast, but I just want to say it again. You know, pray about it. Like, God, yes, your creator, the creator of the entire world, also invented sex. So why would we not pray about that? If you're having issues, and again, you know, Dave says this all the time. We talk about this in the book. You know, your greatest sex organ is not, you know, in your pants. It's actually your brain. Because that's where all the different thoughts about sex that we have are, and it affects our bodies. And so if you're having some kind of hang up about sex, pray about it. Pray about it by yourself, but also pray about it with your spouse. Because I really, you know, where we see the breakdown with couples when it comes to sex is when they refuse to talk about it and they make assumptions. They assume, you know what, my spouse just won't get it. My spouse won't understand, you know, the stress that I'm under or the thoughts that I have or don't have, like maybe the desires that aren't there. They, you know, it's going to offend them so much that it'll just kill any kind of sex life that we have right now. And you guys, that's just a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy, because the greatest sex that can be experienced, it really doesn't start in the bedroom. It starts with all the conversations you have leading up to it.
Yes.
It starts with you connecting intimately through conversations, through communication. And, you know, that's really what draws your hearts together. And also, it really just brings you to this place of understanding that then leads you to want to connect even more physically. You know, I remember we were actually doing a short talk with a church, a group of, it was like a marriage small group where they had asked us to Zoom in and do a talk with them. And I remember the pastor and his wife that were leading that group, they were talking about how there was one time where the husband had something that he hadn't really told his wife about from his past. And he really felt convicted by the Holy Spirit that he needed to talk to her about it, because he felt like it was kind of building a wall between them. And so, and this wasn't like a sin against her or anything like that, which obviously still, that definitely needs to be confessed too. But it was something where he's like, you know what, I've held this back and I feel like I need to tell my wife about this. And so he sat her down one day and he was like, listen, sweetie, we've been married 20 years, but I have this thing from my past that for whatever reason, it's just kind of came to my mind again. And I just feel like, you know, I never told you about it and I want to tell you about it. And so, you know, there's this build up and then he tells her about it. He didn't tell us what it was either. I mean, he just said it was this big thing that he had kind of held back. And he said she sat there and listened, and then she looked at him, and she said, this is her response right after he said it. She said, "Sweetie, that is the sexiest thing you have ever said to me." And he looked at her, and he was like, "What?" And she said, "Just the way you were so honest with me and trusting me with this thing from your past." She's like, "It's just the sexiest thing you could possibly say, because it's just so intimate." And she said, "I feel so close to you." And he said, he kind of paused for a moment, and he was like, "Well, gosh, I'm going to start thinking about what else I can tell you."
What else? What else?
You know, and I mean, I know we can kind of laugh at that, but truly, guys, in that moment, and as he shared this with us over Zoom, I could see it in his face. It was a big moment for him. It was scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was awkward at first, but there was such relief on the other side of that. And the relief was experienced because she was willing to listen, not make assumptions, not interrupt him. You know, she listened, and then she felt such closeness to him because of that. And you guys, that's what sex is really all about. It's about intimacy. It's about closeness and connectedness. And it really, again, it starts through that honesty and that trust that we have with one another. And so, you know, if you feel like, man, sex just isn't what I thought it would be, maybe start there. Start thinking about, well, what am I holding back? Because God wants it to be full-on nakedness, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And so if we're holding back something, then start there.
Man, that's good. That is so good. All right. Yeah, for more on that, guys, check out the Counterfeit Climax book. We share a lot more in there.
We do.
But now it's time for Q&A. Thank Woo-hoo. You so much for those who send in questions. Today's question, sent to nakedmarriagepodcast.com, says this: "I'm a wife and stay-at-home mama of four boys, five and under. I'm struggling with my husband not helping with any household chores, and when something is not done, he finds it unacceptable. What advice do you have in getting him engaged at home?" Great question. And, you know, first off, mama of four boys, just like Ashley, you guys
five and under.
Yeah, Ooh. But five and under, that Man. Is next level. So
yes, it is.
First off, just a lot of prayers and grace to you, because this is the most stressful season of your entire life, most likely.
Yeah.
The exhaustion, the physical exhaustion, the emotional exhaustion, it's not going to get harder than it is right now. Right. And so just hang on, because I know it's intense, but you're going to get through this. But this season could be a lot better, a lot more sustainable, if your husband would pitch in and help out more. And maybe he, in his mind, has kind of created this division of responsibilities, where it's kind of this old school traditional mindset where he's like, "Well, I'm going to do all this work outside the home, but you're going to do all the work inside the home. And that's just how we divide it up." But that's not really being partners.
No.
Partners is saying, like, what's the need right now? And the needs are always changing. And how can we serve each other to help meet those needs as partners in it? And so I'm sure he's working hard too, but he needs to see that you need his support, partnership, and connection, not only to, you know, to do the chores, but just to be there as an encourager, not a critic. It sounds like he's being critical of things that are being left undone. And I would just encourage him, man to man, husband to husband, that, like, right now, man, your biggest responsibility, what your wife needs most from you, isn't just a paycheck you bring home. She needs your support. She needs your tenderness. She needs your compassion. She needs your encouragement. And if you're adding criticism on top of all the other pressure she's feeling to try to keep track of these four precious kids of yours that she has gladly brought into the world, then you're making her load heavier and not lighter. And you need to serve her by trying to lighten her load and saying, "What can I do to support and help you?" And to have just really honest, tender conversations about that without trying to get defensive over who's doing what or who's doing more, because that never ends well. But just say, "What can we do to make it better for both of us right now?" I think I would start there.
Absolutely. And I would say this, I would try, sometimes people, you know, it's really hard for us to see how things are unless we either experience it or someone puts it in a way that kind of, it gives it teeth and it helps us be like, oh, you know, and have an epiphany, like, oh my gosh, I never saw it that way. You know, I don't know what kind of job your husband has, or maybe if he's over people, but, you know, kind of put it this way, say, listen, you know, we've got four young children. What if at work they suddenly gave you like three more you know, jobs that you're going to have. And then all of a sudden they were super critical about it, even though you're having more on your plate than ever before. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody judging you the whole time because you didn't do things just a certain way, even though you're getting it done, but you're not doing it that certain way. And no one was helping you. You know, how would that make you feel? Because, you know, I will tell you, I know both. I was a stay-at-home mom for many years and I've been a working mom outside the home. And I've had stuff in between. And man, having young children at home is like the hardest job. And until you've done it, you don't know. I mean, honestly, yeah, you just don't know. And it is, and I'm not saying, you know, it can be hard all around, working outside, inside, whatever. So please don't misunderstand me. I think we all have struggles, but I think sometimes people look at stay-at-home moms and they think, man, must be nice. But you guys, it is so hard.
It's a job that never ends.
And it never ends, right? And it's beautiful.
My kids, I'm like, this is harder than any job that I've ever
yes.
had. And it's beautiful, but it's hard. And so just support each other.
Absolutely. And I just want to say this. I don't know if it's possible, but I would give your husband a chance, okay? A chance to experience what it's like.
Yeah.
Like maybe you can find a women's retreat. Go on a day. Go for the day to a women's retreat. Not only, this isn't only just for your husband, but for you. Get it to kind of fill you back up, give you some reprieve, you know, give you wind in your sails, so to speak. Have a little self-care moment. And then let your husband see what it's like. Because I do think he'll be like, whoa, my mind is blown. It is really hard to manage, you know, 4 boys, 5 and under, and keep the house looking good because they're all over the place and there's a lot of different tasks to be done. I think it would be really good for him. Now, if you presented it to him this way, like, I want to give you a dose of what I'm dealing with, he's not going to like that. But just, you know, again, I think
I really need this for me. So
I need this for me, right?
Wife and mother, which would help with all those things. But
exactly.
And
exactly.
Then all the way around, that's a win.
I think it would be a win. But I also think, again, I think tenderness on his part, but also on your part in presenting this to him,
yeah,
needs to happen. But I definitely would be talking to him about this, because if you don't, there's going to be a lot of resentment on both your parts. You're both going to feel like the other is dropping the ball and not really filling the other's needs. And so conversations, it needs to continue to happen. It's not going to be a one-time conversation. This is going to be a monitor and adjust,
yes,
frequently kind of conversation. But I also encourage you to pray about it. Again, it all comes back to prayer, just to keep, you know, to keep the line of communication open, but to also keep your heart and your mind in the right place.
Man, that's good. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for leaving reviews. Thank you for sharing this podcast. Like, text this to somebody, your spouse first and foremost, but, you know, post it online. Say, hey, this was encouraging to me. Maybe this would encourage you too.
Yes.
And when you do that, you really partner with us in helping spread these important conversations. We love and appreciate you guys so much. So much.
So, I don't know what accent.
Yeah,
my
accents are all over the place this morning. Not had enough coffee, I guess. But thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.